Welcome back to the Anything But Quiet Time podcast. We are Rochelle and Carter, and something that we're very excited about.
Wait, do that so that everybody can see your fingers.
Something that we are very excited about. And by the way, if you are listening and not watching, you could watch this and this mischievous gesture.
Yes. And I would fancy you would be a great pianist.
Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes.
You need to tickle the ivories.
I need the white gloves. You can watch the Anything But Quiet Time podcast by texting the word quiet to the number 893-893. We very soon here with our ministry are doing something called a Day of Hope.
Yes.
And we are talking about Jesus and how to become right with God, but also those stories of maybe who influenced you, who was that person that brought helped bring you to faith, and also digging into that hardship sometimes of sharing our faith with our coworkers and our neighbors and great tools to be able to equip you to do that.
And there's so many conversations there.
Yeah.
Aren't there?
I know. Yeah. There
like
are.
You immediately maybe are thinking about the time where you asked Jesus into your life or at least considered it.
Sure. Sure.
Or you've given your life to the Lord and you realized that you are still without hope for some reason. And you're struggling with that. And I've been there.
Yeah.
Especially with postpartum issues. Things that are kind of beyond your control, because it's not even about I'm committing to believe in Jesus Christ. There might be a chemical imbalance there that certainly has been a problem for my life. And then telling other people in this world where social media kind of bashes a faith-filled stance.
Yeah.
And though you may not, as one local pastor put it, you may not get beat up for being a Christian, but people will certainly judge you in the court of public opinion.
Yeah, the when
for like quoting Bible scripture about this is what we believe.
Christians talk about getting persecuted, and often that's chastised with nobody's dying in America, right? And that's true, but you do see it socially more. I mean, honestly, if you're watching on YouTube or if you want to jump on over there, there are certain videos of ours that mainly the short videos that somehow people find and decide to say some things that just disagree with what we're saying.
Sure.
And very passionately so.
Yeah.
And so there is certainly that fear that can creep up of if I talk to my coworker or my neighbor about faith. Are they going to freak out? Am I never going to be able to talk to them normally again? And I think that there are incredible ways, peaceful ways to be able to share our faith, share that we're passionate about.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you're passionate about, that would be completely appropriate. You have a movie or you have this new hobby. Your coworker or neighbor would love to hear about that. And I think in the same way, without being pushy, we can talk about our faith. I mean, if Jesus is real and in my life, I can talk about him that way.
It says in scripture that he will keep his mind in perfect peace if his thoughts of his mind is stayed on me. God's talking to us in that verse. And if we are not in a place of peace, I would go so far as to say, then we should not share Jesus with people. If you are not in a place of peace, then somehow you are not aligned with God's Spirit, and that is not going to set well either with them, or like you're in a comment section and you are reacting, then then I'm not acting out. I'm not in a place centered with Christ, and that means I'm not going to be writing something, anything that is going to be compelled by his Spirit.
How would you define a place of peace? Because I think I know what you mean being a keyboard warrior, but I think my battle can also be a way to logically point to what my hope is in, even if I'm not peaceful right now.
I think, and this is what I was kind of going over this in the car this morning with myself and thinking about the battle itself. The battle is not my focus. It should never be my focus. It exists in the spiritual realm. There is a battle going on. Absolutely. It has already been fought in terms of like, we have a winning team.
Right. Yeah.
God has won. If that is true, then my heart can be at rest. Then I can be in that place of peace, which is one of the fruit of the Spirit. I should always be operating from that place of peace, no matter the storm, no matter the battles around me.
Sure.
And that also means that I'm not on the offense. So if I'm, the only time it tells us really to use the armor of God in Ephesians 6 is the only offense weapon is the sword of the Spirit. And so it's not even my word, it's God's word that I would be using.
Yeah.
So where I go personally, when I see those kinds of comments that are just, some of them downright mean.
Yeah.
Or cruel or disarming, it could be because they touched a nerve of a struggle or a place of doubt that maybe I had in the past, or I've got information now and I've got it in my backpack. I'm ready to go. I can address what you're saying, but wait a second. Are they really coming to the table for a conversation?
Sure.
Or are they lashing out and now you're taking the bait?
Yeah.
Because offense, I've heard it said, the bait of Satan is being offended.
Right.
And if I'm speaking out in offense, then I'm kind of looking the fool, to be honest.
There's that saying, there's no hate like Christian love, often said by skeptics. And, you know, and that is not always true, certainly, because there are boundaries and guidelines that if I'm sticking to scripture, people are going to take it as hate.
Sure.
It's like, well, God says to live your life this way, and they go, that's hateful. Well, that's just truth. But there is an element of truth, and we see it online often, or when politics gets combined with all of this.
Yeah.
And then there are people that just go off.
Right.
And it's like, this is a Christian nation, and this is, and it's, whoa, let's slow down and let's care for people. We talked about, a pastor recently shared with me the junk mail that we all get in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
You go and it to your mailbox and you have a million things stuffed in there.
You remember when you got excited going to the mailbox?
Right. Yes.
I got my first bill even.
Your first bill.
Why am I excited? But it is. It's my first bill.
At least that's addressed to you.
Well,
The junk mail is dear resident.
Oh my word.
And it's like, well, this is just, you know, and he said, the pastor said to me, often that's how we can, as we're trying to share our faith, be.
Mm.
Well, it is a blanket statement when I'm not truly getting to know the individual. But because when that letter is addressed to you and it's written in pen, and it's like, you know, the family of Carter Price or the family, you know, and you open it up and it's even a handwritten or at least an intentional note for me. And they took the time to consider what might be going on in my life. And when we just kind of, because scatter seed is a good thing. I think we should be planting seeds. But when we just repeat the same points, regardless of the person in front of us, and we're not listening to their story, and they can showcase, okay, here's where your story is. Let me tell you about this parable Jesus said.
Absolutely.
And be intentional with people.
When you go to the doctor, they prescribe for you the best regimen.
Yeah, for you.
And they individualize it. They personalize it.
That's right.
And otherwise, if I'm getting the same medicine or the same, I'm taking the same amount of vitamins and there's a deficiency here.
Right, right.
You know.
Now, what's universal is we all need water.
Absolutely.
Jesus is the only way. And that is applicable to everybody. But I mean, it's so true to speak to the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we got to be a part of that will be a good part of the rest of this episode, this conversation with one of our artists, a Christian artist, Ben Fuller.
Oh my word. Yes.
His story's amazing.
It is amazing. And the approach from what he'll share in how he came to knowing Jesus, the approach of the people who shared Jesus was it was from a place of peace. It was from an invitation. It was very special. And when I said earlier that if you are not in a place of peace, then you probably should not be sharing the gospel message, please note that God can use anything, anywhere, broken vessel like me, even when I'm in a rage.
Sure.
If he needs to, but the best way of delivering a message. I mean, you think of the best way that somebody has shared something with you. Sometimes there's flowers attached in a balloon, you know?
Right.
An amazing way, or coming alongside and filling a need or whatever that might look like. It's important for me to keep in mind, going back to that same local pastor, he shared something just so beautiful and a reminder. What we get to share is good news. We don't have to be flustered if a belief system different from ours is somebody that we're addressing. They live in that belief system. This is something that's like, it's beyond like the categorical faith silos, you know, it's beyond that. This is for all people.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. And if I'm going to task with somebody, mm-hmm. and you're wrong, then all of a sudden my good news story is like, it got wrapped up in a garbage can. Mm-hmm. And it's not the way that I think we can present. Truth, yes, can be strong, but it comes in this bold and beautiful and striking way that it's contagious. Like there was a magnetism to Jesus.
Sure.
And yeah. even the people who were his worst critics, they couldn't get enough of being around him and even trying to figure it out. And just, they were undone by what he would say, but not in a way that, because Jesus was, you know, essentially, and forgive my language, but like flipping him off or something in terms of like in the comments section. Yeah, I showed you. Mm-hmm. No, right. no, that yeah, wasn't, that like wasn't that. Yeah. Because he knew who he was, and we know who we are, and we have this good news, and we want to share it with people. And just remembering that when we see these lost individuals that we are all one of, we are a lost people. Mm-hmm. We just happen to grab hold of the tether, you know, yeah, to sure. Jesus. But yeah, I love what Ben Fuller has to say. I'm excited about people getting to hear it.
So that's a little bit right now leading up to our Day of Hope, and enjoy this conversation we got to have with Ben Fuller. Well, we love to have fun and talk with, you know, the incredible people that make music on KSBJ. But specifically, we definitely wanted to dig into your story a bit because, you know, we're talking about how to share our faith. And, you know, even in just those experiences and coming to Christ for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I know you had quite the story, even just getting into music in general. But I believe you were doing music before you came to faith, correct?
Yeah, I grew up listening to country music. And so I've just loved everything about it. You know, Vince Gill, Steve Warner, Brooks and Dunn. And on the farm, it was like, country music was just always on, always playing. And that was the life I lived, you know? And so it fit me so well. And that's the reason why I moved to Nashville was for country music. It's so funny now looking back, like I'd never really got much traction in it. I'd written a bunch and tried a bunch and tried to sound like I was Southern and get a little Southern drawl in there, you know what I mean? Yeah. And so like, I wanted to like play the part. And it just never quite worked. And now I know why. Mm.
Yeah. So you moved to Nashville. You're doing bars and restaurants and shows, you know, all the time. And what happens? There was a point where radical change happens. Because I don't think you were, I believe if I remember correctly, your family is believers. And you really didn't want anything to do with it. I may be remembering that a little bit, but you certainly weren't seeking God.
Yeah, I wasn't. And neither was my family. And so Vermont, where I come from, is 2% Christian. And it is, you know, a thing that when I went to church, it was for funerals and weddings. And I always thought that old people went to church to get ready to die. And like that honestly was the thought that I had was, okay, this is just, they're trying to get right with God, and they're just old. And I had no idea because Jesus was always just introduced to me as a swear word. Mm-hmm. And so my whole life I lived that way, you know, and my whole life, 14 and a half years of drug addiction and alcohol abuse and you name it, I drug down to this town in 2018. And I played Broadway for a whole year. And I just tried to make it. I tried to make it. I tried to make it. And I was drinking and driving and just, you know, I was just lost, so lost. And I got invited to a meal, to a dinner by a family here in Tennessee that were from Vermont originally.
And how did they meet you, Ben?
God moved them down. I met them in Vermont and God moved them down. They came out and supported my music when I was doing country music, playing in bars and restaurants back home. And, God had led them here. And it's so funny now talking to them. If I would talk to them today, they would say, if God moved us here just to bring you to church, that's it. That's it. That's the reason. That's the reason why we came to Tennessee. And so it's just, it's so
church,
special.
I just kind of want to unpack that with you. You've never gone to church. You've only known Jesus as a swear word. It's kind of a rite of passage right before you die. That's why you go to church. That's what you've seen modeled before you. What is going through your mind when this family, first of all, invites you to come along with them? And what was going through your mind during the service? And can you paint a picture for us a little bit?
I was hungry and God knew it. and I was tired, and he also knew that. And I was in the most perfect place to surrender and to give it all up. And so I just reached the end of myself, you know? And so I was like, there's gotta be something more. And that was always the question for me in my head was, is there something else? Is there something more? There's got to be, what is it? And I had no idea. But when that family invited me over for dinner, and at the end of the meal, they asked me, I had no idea how biblical this was. At the end of the meal, they asked me, will you come to church with us in the morning? And they brought me, and I said, yes, sure. Because I come from hard work and a relationship where with my family that if somebody does something nice for you, you do something nice back. And so I was just like, I'll go with you. You guys fed me. That's awesome. I'll feed you now. Like, I'll go with you. And I had just had no idea what was about to happen. And I got invited to Church of the City in Franklin, Tennessee. And I walked through the doors, and a man named John Reddick and Chris McClarney were on this stage, and everybody's hands were in the air. And I walked in, and for somebody who's tried to get high his whole life and chase that, I'd never been higher standing there. And I had to do nothing for it. And I think that that's the moment that I heard the music, that I felt the Spirit of God. I stood there, and I tell people, if somebody was behind me and was taking a picture, that my feet would have been off the ground, because that's what God showed me. That's what the Spirit of God has done for me, is I realized that I didn't have to do anything anymore. I didn't have to run anymore. I didn't have to get high anymore. I didn't have to buy any drugs. I didn't have to drink and drive. That it was free, and that he was right there the whole time. And so all of a sudden, everything just started changing. And I'll tell you, I would swear so much. My mouth was awful. That was the first thing to go. It was like the hair out of my head, and just the language stopped. And then all of a sudden, the drinking, I was drinking 20 beers a night. It went from 20 beers to 15 to 10 to 2 to I don't even like to taste alcohol anymore. And then the sex stopped, all the stuff, everything just changed. And my whole life was just flipped upside down. And it was all because I found out about the name of Jesus, and that it wasn't just a swear word. He wasn't just a swear word. He's a man that died for me, and that he went to a cross for me, and that he rose for me so that we could have a relationship, and he loves me so much. And once I realized that and confessed it with my mouth, Romans 10:9, everything changed.
I want to, if it's okay with you, Ben, you were talking about those vices that, I mean, just in the right context, I mean, not language in the right usage, sex in the right place in the marriage room, you know, these things are meant to be a part of the fulfillment, you know, to reflect the goodness of God as he wanted to give to his creation, good things, right? Obviously, sin has twisted all of this stuff. You talked about the grades of beer going down, like it was a process. It doesn't sound like it was an overnight thing. And I'm assuming this family is not coming alongside you, beating you upside the head with the Bible, saying, you better stop all this now. Was this an identifying with Jesus type of process? What happened there?
Yeah, you know, that process is happening right this moment.
You're right. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I just posted online this morning, and I feel bad sometimes because I feel like the devil tries to get me to not post the things I want to post online. And I have a love-hate relationship with social media, but what it does for me, it allows me to vent and allows me to see that I'm not the only one. And so many people relate to me. But, you know, I woke up this morning and I was like, why bother even get out of bed? This morning, I was like, what is my purpose? Okay, I've got to come here and do an interview, and I'm going to call in the name of Jesus and have him show up. And you know what? Because I've lost a lot of things recently in my life, and I've had a bunch of things that have shifted and twisted and made me feel like I was alone. And I walked out of breakfast this morning, and I realized, you know what? God has never walked out on me. I'm going to be 37 years old in a month, and he has never left me. And he's never said anything that has made me feel that like bad or, and I realized that he was just waiting for me the whole time to just run to him and to just come to him and to say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I love you. He just wanted me to come home. And it's this process is like I said, happening right now. And so it's, but like Paul said, it's the mystery of God that keeps me coming back for more. Yeah. And that is what's kept me 4.5 years sober and celibate and waiting on the promises of God for not only my wife, but for just all the things that he said for heaven, you know?
Yeah.
And so, it's crazy. I feel crazy sometimes. I really do. Do I look crazy to you?
No.
Do I still have locusts and wild honey in my beard? I feel like I might.
Well, I'm curious of, because it wasn't then that you were, you didn't have these hangups maybe that some people do against God. Mm-hmm. It was just that you were more apathetic. You hadn't really looked into it, is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
But still, what exactly happened in that service? I mean, you described the praise and worship, but what made you come to believe that this was true? A lot of pastors will get up there and talk about Jesus, and it sounds like they shared specifically the gospel of the whole reason of, you know, we're broken people and everything. Yeah. But what was it that made you intellectually go, I actually believe this?
And was it that first service that you gave your life to the Lord?
Yeah, it honestly, that first service, I felt the Spirit of God. I couldn't identify. I had no idea what it was.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Like what I felt this chill and this rush and this power and this euphoric, amazing feeling of floating. And I felt like, what is this lightness? What is this beauty? What is this glory? What is this stuff that I'm feeling right now? I don't know. Is something wrong with me? Is something? And it was funny because I felt after that service, right? So I had this encounter with the Holy Spirit and I didn't know what it was, but I was like, as an ex-addict, I'm like, I want more of that. I want more of him. I don't know what that was, but that was amazing. That was insane. That was incredible. And so I remember attending later, it might've been a week or 2 weeks later, there was a praise and worship night, like a Wednesday night at Church of the City. And I went, and we all break off into small groups. And I was weirded out, okay? I love people. I'm a people person. I am a hugger. I hugged everybody in this whole station, and I'd hug you too if I was there. But I find myself in this small group with all these, like a couple of strangers started coming into this group, and I'm like, I don't, like, hey, how are you? I'm like, I don't, I'm good. Like, this is really intimate right now. So it's like, we're going to pray. Do you want me to start praying? And I'm like, sure. I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know what to pray. Yeah. And I remember standing there and the Spirit of God just came over me. And the man that I didn't even want to let in the circle, I couldn't get my arms around him fast enough. And Andy Levine is his name, and I'll never forget. And I held on to him, and I cried in his arms like the biggest baby, and he just held on to me, and he just prayed for me. And that's when I believe truly that I surrendered. It came out of me woo! And I just laid it all down, and I just said, I'm done running, and I surrender. Wow. God, I surrender. And that's when I truly believe is when I gave it all up. And that's when things really started to make a drastic change.
I appreciated his openness.
Yeah.
And in that, even he's like, this morning I woke up.
Sure.
And I'm wondering, why am I even getting out of bed today?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I've been the sugar-coated Christian before. Because I think in that moment in my life, I didn't know better. I wasn't mature in my journey yet to know that showing my scars, the power is in the story of how Jesus fixes you. And if you aren't showing that, if you're not sharing that, and those are things that only you can tell,
mm-hmm.
that give it that meaning, because that's your encounter with Christ.
Sure.
Yeah. then it doesn't have the full velocity. It doesn't have the spectrum that God wants to take it. I appreciated him being honest even today. Look, I'm still in process, and we have to recognize that we are. And when I think really that is when other people will be drawn into the person of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Not that we think we're perfect and we've arrived. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really when we show we're flawed and we fail. And today I needed him again.
Yeah.
This woman is humbling herself and admitting her frailty. That's different. That's unique. That's not on a soapbox somewhere.
Yeah, I think there is that expectation that Christians are perfect or should be, or the true ones are, or something. And I love how he put that there is truly a moment where there was a conversion, right? Yeah. There's a transformation.
Couldn't put even words with it, right? You couldn't describe it really.
But then he's able to see that fancy word sanctification. Mm-hmm. He's now growing, and he talks about even the alcohol, you know, getting lower and lower and lower. And now he says, especially for somebody that was an addict, it seems like it would be good wisdom to not drink at all.
Right.
But he says, even I don't even have a taste for it, you know, and that was just God keeping him away from that. And that's that particular struggle for him. Yeah. And you just see that continued. And like you said, you know, even today, And I think that's good encouragement for you if you're watching or listening to this and you feel like you have to have it all together before you come to Jesus, or like you said, you feel like you have to have it all together to share Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that is one thing that I remember of, I roomed in college with a couple different guys. And when I would hang out with my Christian friends, I was more open about struggles. Mm-hmm. And when I was with my roommates who weren't Christians,
right,
I would try to act like I had it all together, not in at least intentionally, not in a stuffy, I'm better than you way.
It's almost like a missionary dating kind of thing, right?
You're exactly right. It's like, I can't fail. Otherwise, they're never going to come to church with me. No. Why would they think they need it?
I get it.
And that really is the wrong approach. Mm-hmm. By no means maybe would I divulge to them what I would with my small group at church. But I should be open that, because the point is that I'm not perfect.
Right.
The point is that Jesus is perfect and that he graciously forgives me.
Yeah.
And that there's a moment when I put my full trust in him, that instant moment, I'm justified, I become right with God.
I think something we never lose when we're kids, we can see authenticity, right?
Sure.
And there is that still in us today. We can tell when people are doing a snow job. Mm-hmm. And we are drawn to those who are authentic, who admit their struggle, who admit, you know what, I read that part of scripture, but I don't quite understand it, and I am struggling with it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I think others are drawn to that too. Really?
Yeah.
And then they're drawn to an authentic Jesus. And what I love about, you know, we were talking about this a little bit in our last podcast about Hebrews 4, was that he could be an authentic Savior because he authentically put on human skin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And knows what things feel like and experienced things. And so just being real with people, that doesn't mean then, like, because I am a dramatic type of person. So then it's like, well, now I'm just going to be like, oh, I'm such a dork, but God loves me, you know? Mm. No, because that's going one extreme to the other. It's like, no, I really am trying my best here.
Sure.
But let me tell you about today, and I messed up, and this is a struggle of mine, but I know what the Bible says, and I'm working on the application of that. And, you know, just being real with people, I think otherwise they're going to see straight through you.
Sure, sure.
Like we did when we were kids.
Yeah. There's going to be so much more. We'll have some more content here in the coming weeks. So excited that we got to talk to Tim Barnett of Red Pen Logic and Stand to Reason. And you can even just look up his stuff right now. So that'll be coming. But I will say, if you are watching or listening to this before February 27th, 2024, the year of our Lord, tune in to KSBJ. Mm-hmm. That's the radio show that we get to do on 89.3 in Houston, and you can stream at ksbj.org. Yeah. Maybe it's for somebody that is a skeptic or a new believer in your life, that this is a great opportunity to build up or maybe showcase what true faith is even for the first time.
And there's an incredible podcast series that Carter was able to do with his pastor.
Sure.
Yeah. Which I like that you call it a crash course in faith, but just, I mean, this is just us really hungry, really seeking. You know, you think about things that maybe you've, even as kids, look, if we were really into the subject, we were all about it. Mm-hmm. We go all in and research or whatever. But if it was like pulling teeth, then that wasn't something we were super interested in. Right. So think about that subject that you really enjoyed and then multiply it times a bajillion, because this is eternity.
Yeah, sure.
And this, I mean, it's a very real thing that we get to do in sharing good news, not just with others, but reminding ourselves, what is it that I believe? Mm-hmm. And there's five video, am I right?
Yeah, so it's five episodes. They're about 25, 30 minutes a piece. And it just goes from the get-go of the basics of, I mean, literally, I think the first question we cover is, who is God?
Yeah.
What is it like, even outside of the Bible? Why do you think there's a God?
It's a great tool.
And then we get all the way to some of the most hard questions we can ask in episode 4 and 5. And so for that, you can text the word. I'm going to give you two here. You can text the word faith to the number 893-893 and get that crash course in faith. Mm-hmm. Or for our Day of Hope stuff, you can text the word hope to the number 893-893. There's some great tools and small groups and things you can be a part of there too.